White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Well, boys and girls, it's August the 3rd, 2017, here in sunny California. And it's muggy today. But I'm going to play you some stuff out of the archives here. I think you'll find it interesting to see what Tommy was saying back many years ago. Here we go.
Question: is the Herbert Armstrong Ministry, the Worldwide Church of God, racist? Well, loosely, by its interpretation, it is separatist. Early writings of Herbert Armstrong Sr. were much hotter on the race issue. It's basic British Israel, a theory not supported by the evidence. However, many would argue with us on that. Question: Section 8 of HUD's new programs places massive numbers of non-whites in suburban and country neighborhoods. What do you think? Well, it's just more of the same forced race mixing we have seen for years. Government-sponsored race mixing. It's no accident. It's all part of their insane and suicidal plan to destroy white America, as the big white capitalists and so forth stand by and watch it happen. What do they care? They're shipping their plants all out of the country anyhow. Question: crime bill, is it good or bad? Well, bad, because it seems no matter how bad it gets, whites just won't respond. The domestic terrorism clauses are a blueprint for dictatorship. Order the bill from your congressman or your senator and get it. Read it. It's free. It's all there. It tells you exactly what they've got in store for you. But replace the word terrorist with dissident and see what you come up with. Question: why don't white leaders concentrate on here and now? I guess the questioner is upset because there's too much history involved. Well, answer. That's a good question. White racial leaders should concentrate on now. However, for uninformed and the youth, there needs to be attention to some history. How else are they going to make an adequate or accurate view of what they're going to do now if they don't have some idea of what's happened in the past? Question: are Irish Aryan? Yes, according to our definition, and that's the one that counts. War is pan-Aryanist and does not support warfare between white European people. Fratricidal wars are suicide. War does not support the war between the British and the Irish. It makes me sick. If Britain can free Negro countries in Africa, they should have no problem on the Irish question. To see Irish killing English and English killing Irish is obscene. It's not racist, it's narrow nationalism. Question: is the time right for IRA tactics? Well, considering the situation, we are long past the time when it should have begun. The declaration of war, penned by Robert Matthews, and the actions of the order are still a valid program, and the Declaration of War is a valid document, and it's never been trashed by anyone that I know except the conservative right. Question: Felix Mendelssohn, our Jew critic, asks, what's wrong with Michael Jackson? Well, answer: he's a freak. His music sucks. He's probably a child molester, and he's not someone our race should emulate. And last, he's sort of a Negro, right? Sort of. He's sort of something. We don't quite know what now. And now for a word from both Irv Rubin, Oh, yes. He's the intergalactic camel-nosed JDL leader who resides in Los Angeles with his two-man Jewish Defense League. However, they don't seem to be able to defend the Jews against massive robberies and stick-ups and hold-ups and so forth in the Los Angeles area. So what good is it to have a Jewish Defense League when they don't defend Jews? And also Felix Mendelssohn, who says I'm insane. So here we go. Now, many of you seem to realize, I hope by now, that I even put on things that are critical to Tom Metzger. Now we get this great Irv Rubin, the intergalactic JDL leader, who's worried about my hairpiece. In 1994, with Israel going down the tube every day, he's worried about my old hairpiece. But I sent it to Arsenio Hall. Here we go.
Question. Why does Tom Metzger, the bald-headed Nazi, the ugliest Nazi in the world, why does Tom Metzger have his number end in 666? Is he now willing to admit to the Christian world that he is anti-Christian and he truly has the mark of the beast on his bald, billiard head? Inquiring minds want to know, Tommy, why did you take off your phony-looking toupee?
Well, Irv, here's the answer. I wore that hairpiece for years and years and years, long before I ever got in the racial movement, and I finally got tired of it, so I threw it away and sent it to Arsenio Hall. On the second point, the 723-1666 number does not mean I've joined the Church of the Devil. It simply means the telephone company had two numbers, and this one was very easy to remember, and also it would get the goats of all the Judeo-Christians who think now I'm running after the devil. Well, if I don't believe in one side, I sure as hell don't believe in the other. And now we're going to get to listen to Felix Mendelssohn, our resident Jew, who calls in and critiques our information. Come on, Felix.
I was wondering if you are a total idiot. If what you just said is the law of nature, is it almost automatic, as automatic as gravity and action and reaction, then why do you have to do anything about it? Why do you worry that some people will not follow it? A natural law is a natural law. It means it works, whether anyone wants it or not. So why do you waste your time making propaganda for the natural law? You are a total idiot.
Well, there you have it. Felix has got me there. He says about the natural law that we shouldn't have to do anything, shouldn't even talk about it. Well, no, that's not entirely true. The natural law will work its way out, but there is definite ways where Aryans and other people can work within those laws to make life a lot easier for themselves instead of being annihilated and having so much problems because of natural law. So it's not that you just have to know about natural law. You should use natural law to your own benefit, Felix. Now, you should know that. You're an educated kike. And now to our next question. Where can I join war? Well, war is a state of mind. When you understand the nature of race and revolution, then you are automatically a war associate. Uniforms, tattoos, and sacred oaths don't do it. When you study and understand the problem and the solutions, your opinions will be pretty much the same on most issues with other Aryan activists. The Jews have a convention to decide what to think on each and every important subject? No. Do blacks have a symposium on what they feel about slavery? No. If your premise is correct and your logic is correct, then your answer will also be correct. And similar to other Aryans on most subjects. Again, Aryan is a state of mind as much as it is a racial designation. If you like what we say and believe most of what we say, then you are war. And you share your ideas with us also. Presto, you're in. You have the sun symbol or the swastika in your heart or mind. See how easy it is? It didn't cost you a dime. War is not a place you can go to or a meeting you can attend. War is anywhere the Aryan spirit dwells. comment. A caller says, don't miss this British movie, now making the campus rounds, called Made in Britain by Alan Clark. Our caller says it's about a skinhead and says it's very good. Let me know about this one. I want to see it too. Question, will Jews use the Asians as a battering ram? No, the Chinese will use the Jews, since the Chinese or Asian strain is what makes semi-Jews so devious and cunning anyhow. Jews have met their match when they play the Chinese. Jews did administer China for a very long time as employees of the Mongols after the Mongol invasion. And then the Chinese overturned the Mongols and drove them out, and most of the Jews left with them. However, there are Chinese Jews, but their cleverness and cunning comes from being Chinese, not being Jews. Of course, Jews always try to use every race as their weapon, but it doesn't always work. Why did the ADL order the NAACP to fire Chavez? Well, answer, Jews don't operate that way usually. They go around the back door. They simply bring about conditions that lead to their goal, and of course they've always got a few well-placed people in the woodpile. Plus, all men in higher places have skeletons in their closets. Yes, they do. In fact, that's one of the reasons they get into higher position, because the Jews and a lot of other people have these skeletons in their closet. They know where they're at. So Jews always keep very careful track of these skeletons and use them when needed as blackmail and so forth. Question, I'm a single Aryan man and find few Aryan women who are active. Well, answer, that's the nature of man and woman. Women biologically look for men to take the lead. Many women will deny that, but it's true. Women are biological nesters and more cautious than men. Men are by nature the aggressor, as a rule. Many women are fearful of relationships in present society with strong Aryan men. They don't recognize what a strong Aryan man is. Propaganda has created an image of a desirable man that is false, but many women buy into it and end in divorce after divorce. And of course, drugs, drugs, drugs throughout the white community. Take your time and be more selective. Don't allow rejection to turn you into a monk. A good woman or a good man is important in the struggle. It's worth your time to go a bit slow on your choice. Once you score, so to speak, most Aryan women will gradually adopt your racial views, since they are logical and your opponent's views are actually very illogical and will become more illogical as time goes on. Remember, women crave romance. Yes, they do, and you must go the distance to show her romance. Many monkish male Aryans are just too square to attract a woman. Aryan man was not just the warrior, but a lover and a provider. Some Aryan men forgot the whole equation. They only take part of it. A lot of skinheads are like that, you know, love and leave them type, you know. Well, that's not the total Aryan man. In other words, don't grab a lady and spend your first hours reading her the Turner Diaries or Mein Kampf. Dancing and dinner is Aryan too. Symphonies and even pagan sports are Aryan. A walk is Aryan, and even popcorn in a movie is Aryan. Now get out there and connect. Oh yes, don't dress like a nerd either and get into physical shape. Most of the men out there look pretty bad. And a lot of the women do too. Women like fit men and men like fit women. Question, has the NRA apologized to Gordon Call's widow for featuring her husband in a collage of desperados in one of their magazines? Are you kidding? No, they haven't. They're right wing. They're cop lovers. They're system lovers and so on. Forget the NRA. That's over with. Answer, is mail addressed to Tom Metzger okay? Yes. Nobody's grabbing my mail. Yes, I receive all mail the same way as John does. I answer as much as possible. but the male is increasing at a rate that is tough for me to answer everybody on all subjects. Some people get upset that I don't answer each and every letter. Well, I do this every week, this question and answer, on the telephone, so this is the place to do it. If I answered every letter, I wouldn't get anything else done. And remember, I am a Mr. Mom, a single parent, who is responsible for two young daughters, 10 and 14. I also try to work. You know what that is? Work to support my girls. There's only so many hours in a day, boys and girls, and believe me, I burn them up. Question, were the Jews behind the Lindbergh kidnap? Well, I smell their prints all over that case and refuse to believe Hoffman did it, the German. The Attorney General of New Jersey who prosecuted the case was Schwarzkopf, father of Fatty Schwarzkopf of the recent Middle East fiasco. Some general. Both were extreme friends of Lindbergh's enemies. Jews, of course, were the major players in Organized Crime and Murder Incorporated at the time. It would have been easy for them to manipulate this. Remember also that at least 10,000 Jews entered Sicily after the fall of Jerusalem. This leaves some unanswered questions about their family tree. Question, what do you think of the Egyptian population control meeting, world population control meeting now being held in Egypt? Well, answer, any meeting that has as its goal world population control can't be all bad, since much of this conference is aimed at the third world, as I call it. So don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And of course, there's a lot of our enemies there, but as long as they're going in a general right direction, who cares? Question, what's wrong with the Christian identity theology? Well, from my point of view, that would take a long time, and we don't have it. Professor Revlo P. Oliver wrote many articles on this subject. It would pay you to research the pages of Liberty Bell magazine for a lot of answers on these histories. It's published in Reedy, West Virginia. While I may criticize the validity and evidence of Christian identity, I do not mean it as an attack on those who are believers. I respect them as individuals, but I think it's time for a conference on religion and Aryans. It's time to reformulate a new mythos. Christianity is on the way out. I know that offends some people, but it's the truth. Christianity today is only making headway among the non-white races. Anyone interested with this national conference? If not, I will proceed on my own. I have offered a chance. Question, does Wolfpack Services still exist? Yes. Address, Wolfpack Services, P.O. Box 212, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55075. Tell them War sent you. Question, is there public access in foreign countries? No, and that's why you should get off your butt and do it here. War's Race and Reason begins pretty soon in Tampa, Florida, and soon in Redding, California, over 50 cities and 12 states. It's free, boys and girls, except the time you have to devote and the tape you have to buy. I haven't seen a skinhead-sponsored TV show. What's the problem, boys and girls? You talk big about white power at these rallies. Negroes and Bull Dykes can put on a TV show on public access. What's wrong with you so-called Aryans that have such big mouths? You'll reach thousands of times more people on TV than you'll ever reach in the backwoods. Question, what do you think of Clockwork Orange, the movie? Well, it's the side of youth that I don't like. Violence with no objective, except more violence. Like Negroes, only with higher IQs. That's it. This is war. And if I haven't stepped on your toes this week, call back next week and I'll try again. Good luck on the hunt. This is war. Why don't you produce a radio show like National Alliance? It's cheaper for us to listen in. We don't have to call clear across the country. Answer, well, war supports all effort to reach white people who are not brain dead. The downside is radio time is quite expensive unless you're on a low power station that doesn't really reach out so far. 50,000 watt stations are what is needed. Of course, that's very, very expensive. It is, in fact, the 50,000 watt stations are more closely watched by the Jews and their friends than any other. It is very difficult to get into mainstream radio stations, so you're left with a lot of off-the-wall, Bible-beating, low-power stations. One of the biggest problems is keeping the message radical and not watering it down to make the station owners happy. Stations that allow you to verbally say what needs to be said and attack Jewry and Judeo-Christianity and the criminals, the real criminals in Washington, soon have a lot of heat on them when they go to review their licenses, and their licenses come up for renewing. On the positive side, is it's amazing at all at this juncture Arians can get anything on the YouTube or radio. Race and Reason TV is basically free of cost except donation of time and purchasing tape, and now serves over 55 cities across the nation and has a 10-year track record. We believe we've reached more white people in that amount of time than any other program or any other method put together up to this point, and surely much more than small-scale rallies. That seems very cost-effective to us. In fact, it's so cost-effective that most people and most organizations don't seem to want to get into it. It doesn't really make sense. 900 numbers are possible, but much harder than you think to finance, unless you feature sex or fortune-telling. Anyone out there who will subsidize a 900 number for war or an 800 line for a trial period, let us know. We're all ready to go. I think we can keep the lines hot, but the big problem is it's not just getting on a 900 line, it's getting the information out to people that you are on it. Most people have 900 lines advertised on all kinds of TV stations and radio stations about their 900 line. Comment: a new computer line is, this BBS, is 916-741-1618. And I believe they said to leave a message, wait for the modem tone to stop. Anyhow, tell them more, set you. Check it out. Question: why can't white flight work? Why can't we just move away from these non-whites and be by ourselves? Well, answer: white people cannot abandon the nerve centers of commerce and business to third world ghettos. The major harbors and ports and travel centers are still the major cities or around the major cities. Once the present problems have been taken care of, the major urban areas will have to be rebuilt practically from ground up. Now, if whites would give ground out of the military necessity, it would be one thing. But most whites leave, and as soon as they feel safe, go to sleep on the race issue. In other words, they don't move back for a military reason and then counterattack. They just leave town and chicken out and join their local Judeo-Christian church and say everything is wonderful and Jesus is coming. The good or bad thing is the non-whites are pursuing the white fighters so swiftly they barely get their bags unpacked before the non-whites follow them into their new communities. Most non-whites pursue whites simply because whites work, or a majority of whites work, and build nice communities, except for the white scum that is rising pretty fast. There's no doubt about that. Non-whites want it too, but cannot maintain it. They love to take over where whites are, but soon it degenerates into a slum. As long as whites provide the tit, the non-whites will follow. Our institutions promote it. The brotherly love churches promote it. The racial Marxist schools promote it, as do the textbooks in the schools written by racial Marxists. Your enemy is in your own household and must be vanquished by any means possible. But first, the criminal government must be neutralized. Yes, make one thing clear. If you don't neutralize that monster in Washington, all else is futile until that takes place. There's just no other way around it, boys. They got satellites, they got armies, they got everything. so might as well forget any practical solution unless you confront the main problem. Question, when will there be a History of War Part 4? All I can say is there will be one. Be patient, boys and girls. Question, what's war's position on abortion? Well, we've given it many times on this phone line, so it's up to you to read our newspaper, our war position notes, and you will find our position on abortion. Simply to say, we are not in either camp on abortion. We think non-whites should have free abortions. We should subsidize all the abortions we can for non-whites. We discourage abortion for whites, but we would not make it illegal. Again, war is third position. We don't follow their party line on either side. Question. Why is there so much psychic 900 crap on TV? Well, it's simple. It's very lucrative. They make a lot of money, and people are very dumb and lonely. Anyone with a good gift of gab, a line of BS, can fleece primarily women who call into these lines. It is obvious Aryan men must do most of the dirty work in the struggle. A much larger percentage of women are prepared to jump in the rack with a grease ball for perceived security. Whether it's psychic or astrology lines, date lines, or just old-fashioned huckster religion, women are the biggest partakers and the biggest suckers. Question, is routine circumcision a Jew conspiracy? Well, I think, yes. Yes, it's a money-making conspiracy by doctors of all persuasions. Actually, I believe Judeo-Christians have pushed routine circumcision in this country more than the Jews. In fact, you don't see Jews going door-to-door like the Jehovah's Witness and so forth. Judeo-Christian preachers and priests are so hell-bent to also be chosen by the big heap in the sky that they think such mutilation may make them better spiritual Jews. That's what the New Testament says, right? They're spiritual Jews, which makes it quite evident that religion as such is a mental disorder that can lead to severe problems. Question, will skins attack whites in general? Well, there's a core group of white skins who know the score and conduct themselves in an Aryan way. Many have let their hair grow out, dressed differently, and you wouldn't recognize them from anyone else. Unfortunately, there are those who get into skin activity for the wrong reasons. Most whites who are attacked by skins usually start it by opening their big race-mixing mouths and talking tough. Usually, at that time, skins may proceed to circumcise the person's mouth. Of course, the news only gives one side of the story, which is racists are always guilty, racists are always wrong about anything. So that's why you see so many incidents of so-called skinheads jumping onto people. It is indeed rare for a white person going about his business to be attacked for no reason by a skinhead. In the meantime, it's up to the recognized skinhead leaders around the country of these groups to police themselves and weed out the bad eggs. Question, why do Christians relate to Egypt's Isis myth, Mother of God, and all the rest? Well, because Christianity's origins evolved out of Egyptian myths. The two-volume works of Gerald Massey, entitled Egypt, the Light of the World, carefully detail the connections. These two volumes, unfortunately, cost $100 for the two. They're not cheap. For more, though, send for our video Naked Truth, which is $25, or the audio tape of Naked Truth for $10. Question, after the Aryan Revolution, will there be a religious war? It is doubtful, since religion will no longer be fostered by the state. There will be no tax exemption for churches or ministries. With all the fraud taken away and a revamping of education, I believe Aryans will work out a system that would neutralize a need for religious war. Question, if Asians are gooks, what are Japanese? Well, some anthropologists believe the early inhabitants of at least part of Japan were Aryan. What happened after that is not clear. There is a definite difference between most Japanese and other Asians if you spend any time around them. As one Japanese man recently told me, don't judge Japan by American Japanese. U.S. Japanese, Nisi, in most cases are into race mixing and all the other Judeo-capitalist crap. War supports the deportation of all Asians from North America. Comment, there are at least 8,000 Mexicans in Kentucky. With their birth rate, Kentucky will be as brown as Mexico within 25 years or so. And most of the white people left would move out. Comment, a caller corrects me. He says there was a skinhead TV show in 1989 in Savannah, Georgia. Well, what's happening now, boys and girls? Get with it. If you can set up an Aryan Fest, you can surely set up a TV show. Let's get with it. You'll reach a lot more people. Comment, our resident Jew, Felix, called in to complain that we are wrong. Michael Jackson is not a child molester. Now, how could he possibly know that unless the Jews are spying on Michael Jackson day and night? Well, with their investment in money and time in Michael Jackson, that's probably not a bad idea. They've probably got closed-circuit cameras in there feeding directly to the Wiesenthal Center. Question, what's up with the Cuban situation? It's simple. Recognize Cuba, stop the blockade, send all non-white Cubans home, move Las Vegas gambling back to Cuba. Castro can't last much longer anyhow. The only thing that keeps him in power is hysterical U.S. politicians. The largest communist nation in the world is China, and they are favored trading partners for capitalist United States. So what's this ridiculous stand on Cuba? It's simple. There must be always an excuse to pad the war budget, known to you as the defense budget. How do you get 49 Cubans into a shoebox? You convince them that it's a raft. Question, what about Jew assimilation? A high percentage of assimilation into European society, and they lost much of their racial characteristics. These Jews owe all they have to that assimilation. The reason for any brilliance they may claim is due to their European journey and assimilation. Name me one black philosopher Jew genius of renown, or a few brown Sephardic Jew brain surgeons. They're not there. Typically, Jews cling to the Aryan West like a leech on an Aryan leg. At the same time, they do everything they can to destroy what has made them rich and powerful. They're the strangest people the world has ever seen. Truly, a schizophrenic people who drag around one of the most asinine and archaic religions known to man. But they get everything positive that the Jews have came from the Aryan West, including much of their genetics after they lived there for several generations. Question, what about North Ireland? Answer, the new plan is to fleece U.S. taxpayers and simply pay off trouble spots. North Korea, North Ireland, Somalia, Haiti, and so on. This, of course, has nothing to do with national defense and surely nothing to do with Aryan defense. It is just good old gunboat capitalist diplomacy modified a bit. Of course, that will lead to more trouble spots, real or imagined. Of course, more threats and more payoffs. It's simply the old mob protection racket on a large scale. But I don't blame some of these countries for saber-rattling. The United States comes in and hands them billions of dollars, say, be good, boys. Okay, we'll be good. Question, would you respect an anarchist separatist state? Yes, but my question is simple. How would you protect the quasi-moderate anarchists from the radical anarchists, and how could you assume these anarchist rivalries would not spill over Aryan borders, resulting in conflict with an Aryan state next door? War welcomes a national conference on self-determination and separation. We're all for it. Let's go. Set it up. Comment. Another caller wishes to set up a conference of revolutionaries of all persuasions. War supports that idea. Oh, yes. Why not contact the International Separatist Front, P.O. Box 530, McIntosh, Florida. That's capital M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H, Florida, 32664. Tell them war sent you. Let's not talk about it. Let's set it up. Let's do it. Question, what happened to Race and Reason in San Francisco? Answer, no one at this time has come forward to sponsor the show, pure and simple. There are a lot of talkers in the Bay Area, but few doers, few activists. Question, a caller asked, in an IRA-style operation, should one aim low or high on the political spectrum? Answer, as I recall, the IRA has used both methods over the years. They must have succeeded since they are in the process of getting many of their demands met, plus a big money payoff. Like I have always recognized, intelligent violence works, especially over a long period of time. Not to be confused with stupid violence. Look at American Negroes. Even the threat of a riot sends most whites into cowardly hysterics, willing to pay any price to placate their black brothers, so-called. If enough whites rioted in several cities, you would soon see a quick change in attitude by your masters in Washington. It's not the killing of people that panics these guys. It's the fat cat's playthings that cause them hysteria. People are easily replaced. Buildings, refineries, transportation, and so forth is not. Under the new 1993 police state bill, I am probably already breaking some law, but even talking about revolution. But you know what they can do? They can kiss my white ass, boys and girls. This is the end of our question and answer show for this week. Send your donations and orders to Box 6.
Well, those shows turned out from 2010. How about that? I don't see much change in my thought process. Well, it's time for Mike Kaiser. Let's see what he's got to say on the front of economics and how the rich bastards and the crooks and the bankers are messing us over.
Hi, I'm Max Kaiser, and this is the Kaiser Report. What is a monopoly, not a monopoly? Certainly you've played Monopoly. Who wins Monopoly? Is it still active? Are there any rules against it? Should we be wary of monopolies forming? Who's on what side of this debate? Who should care? Let's talk to Stacey.
Actually, while we've been here in Nevada, O.J. Simpson was released on parole, and you talked about when is monopoly not monopoly, and things. I think of the Monopoly game, and somebody came up with the idea, I think it was you, actually, to come up with jail coin, that O.J. Simpson should launch jail coin, and that's a get-out-of-jail-free card, no matter what despicable act you may have. He should work with Eric Holder, maybe get a deferred prosecution coin, a deferred prosecution token sort of thing.
Well, yeah, my idea was that O.J. Simpson should launch an ICO called Juice Coin, so it disintermediates murder and homicide and larceny. So kind of a play on that. Juice Coin.
Basically, because those outside of America who don't know or who are too young to remember O.J. Simpson, he was called The Juice. That was his nickname. Anyway, here you're talking about monopoly, but I want to talk, this is a theme we've been focusing on, is that these monopolies and oligopolies and oligarchs here in America that are kind of keeping the wages down, making America not so great again, and how do we bust up these monopolies and antitrust actions when we don't have a Teddy Roosevelt? You had said you hope that Trump could be this sort of person, but there's no indication that he's going to be that sort of person because of the people he's appointing, and we're going to get into those headlines. But on the other side, the Democrats are not, they don't care about the monopolies developing because mostly it's in Silicon Valley right now these days, and intellectual property and patents and copyright. That is really where a lot of the most onerous monopolies are happening, and those are big supporters of the Democrats. So I want to look at one tweet that I saw from a German finance guy, and this is while we've been here as well. This is a headline that fits in with this the reality of a world where we have monopolies ruling everything. Wealth for all. Global stocks gained another $1.6 trillion this week. Equities now worth $76.9 trillion, highest in history, equals to 102% of world GDP. So you see, stock markets keep on soaring and soaring and soaring. They love these monopolies. They love this sort of situation.
Well, monopoly, by definition, means monopoly pricing. And monopoly pricing, by definition, means non-competitive pricing. There's And that, by definition, means an economy that's been given over toward monopolists, oligopolists, and price gougers in America in the healthcare industry, because you can't import healthcare from China. It's all very local. You have the case of gouging and price gouging by monopolists in America. And as a result, people's health is declining. Life expectancy is falling. Childbirth deaths increasing because of these monopolies and the lack of competition. So it's a very insidious, dangerous condition fueled by the cheap money that is coming out of the Federal Reserve Bank, who answers to no one but the monopolists. Their job is not to, according to the twin mandate, price stability and employment. They're not serving those mandates whatsoever. They're only serving one god, the god of monopoly pricing. And you're going to talk about one particular case.
Yes, we're going to talk about the case. But, you know, you mentioned that the Federal Reserve Bank has monopoly on basically setting interest rates and deeming what is a legitimate currency. And I know you talked in the second half of Charlie Shrem. He does mention that having these individual currencies and cryptocurrencies and ICOs and that thing has broken up that sort of monopoly and allowed this sort of wealth and job creation that Trump said he was looking for. But here's one of the monopoly positions that Trump, it seems unlikely that he's going to break this up or have any concern about it, nor will the Democrats. To save rural Iowa, we must oppose Monsanto-Bayer merger. Iowa farmers face a crisis. Crop prices have fallen by more than 50% since 2013 with no end in sight. At the same time, farmers hold more debt and possess fewer capital reserves to fall back on. In fact, farmers' debt levels are almost as high as they were prior to the farm crisis of the mid-1980s. Meanwhile, we've seen all these mega mergers happening between agricultural giants. And if approved, the proposed merger would result in just two companies in the agricultural space, Monsanto Bayer and Dow DuPont, controlling three-quarters of the U.S. corn seed market. Hey, I wanted to say, you know, here, so you're going to have only two giant companies, Dow DuPont and Monsanto Bayer, controlling three-quarters of the seed market. Farmers are already being squeezed, however. The price of corn seed, you mentioned price, that prices go up with monopolies. The price of corn seed has more than doubled in the past 10 years, from $51 per acre in 2006 to $102 in 2015. So their prices have doubled. Their profits have plummeted by 50%.
Remember Farm Aid?
Yeah.
Willie Nelson?
Yeah. And then Willie Nelson needed
a bailout. It's a vicious cycle. No, well, I mean, there's an enormous amount of information there. But you got Monsanto and Bayer going to merge potentially, and it would undermine the dynamism and competition in the food business. It's American farmers are being destroyed. And this is something that anyone who would be supportive of jobs in America or competition in America or American values, certainly the Corn Belt and American farmers, can't get more American than that. And yet no one is stepping in to stop this merger. And it gives Monsanto added power to be part of this monopolist Bayer-Monsanto combination. And remember, on a geopolitical front, on a global basis, the number one issue that is dividing Ukraine and causing tension with Russia is that Russia is against genetically modified organisms, GMO, in Russia. Monsanto, with Victoria Nuland and her husband, who's a lobbyist for Monsanto, staged a coup in Ukraine. And it's all about that rich farmland. Ukraine is to that area of the world what Kansas is to America. It's the breadbasket of Central Europe, Central Eurasia. And so there's a big battle. And who's waging this battle? Frickin' Monsanto, Bayer, is doing battle in domestic and foreign enemies.
Yes.
Domestic and foreign enemies. Where's the CIA? Where's the NSA? Where's the FBI? These people are acting against the greater interest.
Probably right behind them.
Where's Peter Schiff?
No, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is also with everything so algorithms and the fact that Monsanto and Bayer and DuPont and all these guys know to a second and exactly where all their seeds are. They know exactly what your profit is to the penny, and they can make sure, like in this sort of gig economy, that these farmers only eke out the littlest of existence. Anytime prices might go up and their profits might be rising, they'll like grab it and like increase their seed costs or whatever, because they have the monopoly pricing and they can grab, they're not going to want you to be successful and independent. They'll basically a neo-feudal sort of model.
Right. The same way in banking, they manipulate LIBOR,
yes.
Forex,
yes.
Gold, and algorithmic trading, high-frequency trading. They do in the agricultural market with patented seeds and control of and monopolization of that industry to kill the competition, literally in this instance, and to become this monopoly pricing and gouging pricing. So in America, it's get the worst of all possible worlds. You have price gouging on food here domestically with these monopolists. You have jobs being shipped over to Asia because of, again, monopolists. And you have local healthcare price gougers like the insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies taking prices way beyond any conceivable rate of inflation that would be commensurate with a sound business model. And you end up with disenfranchised Americans. Disenfranchised Americans. You know, no taxation without representation. Where have I heard that before? You know, let's frickin' just take these guys down. You know, we've got the manpower. I'm sorry.
So let's go.
Freedom Fest. I'm getting caught up in the spirit.
So
where's my constitution?
Know, whether or not Trump will become the Teddy Roosevelt that you had hoped perhaps he might, this seems unlikely. If you look at this headline, how Trump's pick for top antitrust cop may shape competition. His name is Makan Dalarim. He's an Iranian-American. He used to work at the Department of Justice. He was also a corporate lawyer and a lobbyist. He was a lobbyist for Amazon. He was a lobbyist or lawyer for Google, Comcast, Johnson & Johnson, Blue Cross Blue Shield. And he, however, is most interested, if he gets the job, in going after Europeans who are fining American companies like Google on antitrust thing. He thinks this is unfair to American corporations. And the article points out that he emphasized that antitrust is intended to support free markets and that the government should intervene only when necessary. A monopoly is perfectly legal, he says, until it abuses its monopoly power. So he says a monopoly is perfectly legal unless it abuses its monopoly power.
Well, he's not looking at the dictionary definition of monopoly. A monopoly, by definition, is abuse of the market. That's what a monopoly means. It's market abuse. And to claim that, it's like Bill Clinton said, it depends on what your definition of is. He's being obtuse. He's being solipsistic. He's manipulating the public discourse to further a monopolist aim. In a way, let me tell you, this guy is anti-American in no uncertain terms. And I mean, he should be pursued on those grounds and taken into a court of law.
This is
treason.
Like if you turn into cable news here.
Treason.
Everybody's
sick
talking
of
treason.
These monopolists who are putting farmers out of business, who are destroying competition in America, abusing the English language to further their aim, to feather their own nests. These people are tyrants. These people should be dealt with
in the most extreme possible way. You've been watching too much American cable news because everybody says everybody's a traitor. Everybody's a traitor here.
The highest tree, a rope.
Woo, woo, woo. Anyway, we only have 20 seconds left, so I want to say, you know, there's no freedom, there's no making America great again without busting up these monopolies and oligopolies in all around America at the moment.
Well said. Well, we got to go to...
A conversation with the Blancos. This originally came from National Alliance, I believe. I had a talk recently with two young white men. The subject ranged from hate crimes laws to race, economics, and history. One of the two, a college student and a born-again Christian, was trying to tell the other fellow that the Congress had passed a federal hate crime statute. I explained to them both that the Congress had passed a hate crime statistics law, not to be confused with the Wisconsin law that enhanced criminal sentences for hate crimes, which the U.S. Supreme Court had recently upheld. The born-again Christian responded by saying that any white man who harmed a black or any other minority for racial reasons should be executed, that racism is a sin. He hated white racists. When I asked whether he hated the black rapist who chose chooses white female victims. The other fellow, a student of economics, chimed in to say that the reason blacks do this is to white women is the oppression they have suffered under the white man for over 300 years. I thought I was listening to Malcolm X. The born-again Christian said he would have to see whether the black rapist had had a proper education. The black rapist gets the benefit of the doubt, while felon goes down the toilet. The white felon. Our conversation turned to the future of the United States, and I said to them I thought that the country was through because the founding white race has been dispossessed by immigrants from the Third World, the work of the Washington traders. The economics major claimed that white men have been in charge of things since the founding of the country. Again, I thought I was hearing Malcolm X. He claimed that the peoples coming to America from the Third World would uplift the economy because they work hard, which means that they want to get rich quick. The born-again Christians began to say in nearly ecstatic tones that God has his eye on America, that God won't permit anything nasty to happen here. Even so, he thinks he will be raptured and so avoid all the trials and tribulations to be visited on the rest of humanity. But if he is martyred, why then he will be surely saved? Did he have any sense of personal responsibility for preserving the white race and its Aryan culture? I ask him. Like what? The economist major asked. Violence against minorities like in Mississippi burning. The born-again Christian had an answer. God would not permit the evil races to harm his children. No race war, no economic collapse, just onward and onward to glory. When I reminded him that God did not prevent the murders of Tsar Nicholas II, Louis XVI, and Charles I of England, saying that the Red Jews had shot down the entire family of the Russian Tsar, the born-again literally turned ghostly white. Red Jews? God's chosen people? No, the communists did that. I could have laughed in his ignorance at his ignorance of the events if it was not so pronounced. Do you see why America's in the dumps? I was talking to two middle-class white males, not Ivy League nerds or black bucks from Malcolm X's college. No idea of racial awareness did they express. Racial denial, racial abnegation is what they offered as arguments. The economics major had nothing but concern for whether the non-whites were getting a fair break in a white-dominated society. The born-again Christian was prepared to see the entire white civilization go down, just as long as the true Bible believers got saved in the end. America, they claimed, was too powerful to fall, though they agreed with me that there is corruption everywhere in government and the establishment. This was due, said the born-again, to not enough Christians in the government, to which I responded that there are too many Jews in Congress and the Senate. The economics major said that there should be more job opportunities for blacks, which would solve the race problem in the United States. He claimed that crime statistics would go down if every black had a good education and a chance for a better life. When I said that blacks viewed whites as potential prey and money in their hands would just make them more capable of ranging far and wide seeking white victims, his response was, "I have a black friend, and he is not that way at all." Exasperated as this conversation was, I'm more firmly convinced than ever that the blancos cannot be saved from their own folly. And the blancos are America today. They cheer on the Camarilla in Washington as it leads them to every dirty little Jew war as the feds murder the Weavers and the Branch Davidians, Never do the Blancos question in whose interests such atrocities are committed. If I live long enough to see the formation of our Aryan Republic, I will raise my voice against the admittance of such as the Blancos. They will not gain from our sacrifices. These do-nothings can stay with the muds and the Jews they love and worship, with the dregs of the feds who will find themselves suddenly without a master. It is difficult to think that such white nothings are in any way related to us Aryan folk. This is my indictment of the criminal America. It had deluded whites into believing that there is justification for their dispossession and humiliation, their abject victimization. The Blancos were brought up by television and educated, indoctrinated, and in race-mixing schools. They are the drones who make the Zog go on and on and on ad infinitum. As though the poor fools had a future in this country they no longer own. White racial denial, Holocaust acceptance, race bastardy. This will be the end of the Blancos and final gong for America. It cannot be too soon to suit me. We Aryans realize that for there to be a new beginning, there must be an end to this monstrosity known as the United States. This bloated Humpty Dumpty thing, this thing that mocks history of the Aryan race, flawed from its inception, America was bought and sold long ago. The Camarilla in Washington existed on the blood and labor of Aryan people who gave this continent any chance of greatness it ever would have. In that the wretches have pissed away the country they had, we Aryans will tear a new nation full of race and culture from the tatters that remains. As for the Blancos, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Absolutely true. Just remember, boys and girls, hypocrisy is the biggest sport in America, the number one national sport above all others, hypocrisy. I'll see you tomorrow on Freya's Day.